In Acts chapter 19, where these people were baptized of Jesus in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, first of all, he says, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. He wasn't talking about, in that passage, Holy Spirit baptism, was he, when he said, unto what then were you baptized? But wasn't that the baptism of the Great Commission, where he said, where Jesus said, you must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Is that, do you think that's talking about that, the Great Commission baptism or Holy Spirit baptism there?
I think that's the baptism of the Great Commission, but what I would say is that you've got the Apostle Paul there.
Mm-hmm.
And as an apostle, he could lay hands on them,
yeah,
to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right. But when he talks about, and what then you were baptized, he was talking about the baptism of the Great Commission.
Yeah. That's my understanding.
I think that's right, yeah.
The other thing that I would just mention there is, in Acts 18, when you look at the conclusion there in verse 26, where you have Priscilla and Aquila coming to Apollos, that you have a situation of where they traveled with Paul,
mm-hmm,
but they were not the inspired apostle that could lay hands on people or that could change that baptism or give those gifts. And so that's the distinction I see,
and
more so than just...
Okay. Just one more quick question
sure,
here.
Sure.
So they, if I perceive this right, they were baptized with John's baptism after the cross. I mean, after Jesus died on the cross, and they need to be baptized of Christ's baptism, not John's baptism. And that's what they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay.
Yes,
that's what I understand.
That's
Thank
my
you.
Understanding.
Brother Clinton France.
Brother, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on the question or the statement of the folks at Ephesus when they said, we have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Because we assume these were Jews if they were baptized with John's baptism. Obviously, Gentiles didn't get baptized with John's baptism. Mm-hmm. But Jews knew about the Holy Spirit, in a sense, that he existed at least, didn't they? Because John preached about him, for one thing, but he's present in the Old Testament Scripture. So I wondered if this has reference to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that they didn't know that the Holy Spirit had come and that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were being offered in the way that they were since Pentecost. I just wondered what your thoughts were on what they meant by that and
I would agree with the way you said it, because I think that what the emphasis was is, remember, the Apostle Paul came to them and asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so the focus was on them receiving the Holy Spirit, and their answer was they hadn't heard so much as whether there be the Holy Spirit. I've always understood that to be the instruction on that fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Ghost, them receiving it with the baptism that, for lack of a better term, to call it the day of Pentecost, similar to that.
I've talked with some that believe in Holy Spirit baptism, mm-hmm, and what would be your comments on that and the baptism of fire?
Okay. Yeah, Holy Spirit baptism it was a miraculous giving through the laying on of the apostles' hands. That's how people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The other thing was, of course, the Holy Spirit baptism from direct prophecy fulfillment, where in Acts chapter 2 you have the Holy Spirit being revealed to them, and in Acts chapter 10 you have the Gentiles receiving the miraculous Holy Spirit from the standpoint of the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in Joel 2:28. So I believe that those were the ways that Holy Spirit baptism was given. I don't believe that there is Holy Spirit baptism given in that sense in our day and time. I believe that was clearly a result of Joel's prophecy and the fulfillment of what Joel was saying in Joel 2:28.
Well, that's what they believe, is that they're baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Matthew 3, I'm sorry, I didn't answer the rest of your question there. In Matthew 3, when he talks about, when John is telling them that the axe is laid to the root of the tree and they'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, the Holy Ghost is showing the obedience to God, being baptized with an acceptable baptism in obedience to God. The fire is showing the disobedience and the sentence of punishment for those that don't comply with the will of God. It's not a baptism that saves people by being baptized with fire like people use it today.
I understand that. I believe that. But how do you convince them when they're in their mind, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's something they felt, you know, and you try to convince
them.
Well,
I think there's a number of things you can talk about. When people say they're baptized by the Holy Spirit like the apostles, then obviously there's a whole bunch of things that go with that. John chapter 14, he'll bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever the Holy Spirit said to them. You should be able to ask them anything about the Bible and they should be able to tell you. Yeah, there are a number of things like that. The miraculous powers, the ability to drink poison, any deadly thing, Mark 16, verse 20, all of those kinds of places really reflect the fact that possessing that ability and capability isn't really what they have. So,
there are several approaches to the answer to your question on how do you convince them. In my work and the people I've come in contact with, I usually go to Ephesians 4, verse 5. There's one baptism.
Yeah.
Now, there have been many baptisms mentioned, but water baptism throughout Acts, the whole book of Acts, and all the cases of conversion is a predominant and the obvious case, the baptism of the Great Commission, and that regardless of what other baptisms have come and gone, there's one baptism in Ephesians 4 and verse 5. That has been helpful to me in discussing with the United Pentecostal Assembly of God and et cetera down the line. And now to you.
Oh.
Apollos, okay. You and I have talked about this a little bit. So do you believe Apollos was rebaptized? In Acts 18, when Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos the way of the Lord more perfectly, in your studies, do you think he was baptized again under the baptism of the Great Commission, or did his baptism of John carry over?
Well, let me answer it like this, and this is what I tried to make really clear. If Apollos was baptized under the baptism of John before the day of Pentecost, then he would not be rebaptized. If Apollos was baptized after the day of Pentecost, then he would need to be baptized under the baptism of the Great Commission. It's my impression that he was not.
I think that's a good answer. So therefore, in Acts 19, mm-hmm. those people were baptized apparently with the baptism of John after the baptism of the Great Commission became binding and effective. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And I would say to Apollos, the other thing is, Apollos was referred to in Acts chapter 18, especially when you get to near the end of the chapter, verse 25, 26. Apollos was one that was mighty in the Scriptures. And he was preaching in Achaia and Corinth, and he was pulled aside by Priscilla and Aquila and taught the way of the Lord more perfectly. The thing that is implied in that is Apollos was honest enough that once he knew the way of the Lord more perfectly, he would do it. And I think that's pretty clearly evidenced by the fact of his willingness to listen to Priscilla and Aquila even pull him aside. So that's
okay.
Another thought on it.
All right. Brother, we'll go ahead and start here. Brian Burns and then Richard Butler.
Thank you for the study, brother. The first thing that I believe would just be something of clarity, especially maybe for some of the younger minds, in using the term baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe that was something that was a promise, mm-hmm. of course, never a command, a very limited promise. Mm-hmm. And that term is not used in reference to the miraculous gifts being passed on.
Right.
Okay, so it's very limited. We would normally say just by the Apostles, Acts 2, and many believe, like with Cornelius and household, the right. outpouring in Acts chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
But with the imposition of the apostles' hands, mm-hmm. that was just simply giving the miraculous gifts to faithful Christians. Right. But that would not be a description of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, correct?
Yes, that's okay. correct, and I appreciate the clarification because answering the way the world uses that today,
sure.
I may not have been very clear.
Okay, well, it might have been my hearing. I just, if others heard it differently like I did, I figured there's agreement.
No.
Just wanted agreement. Clarity.
Total okay. agreement.
And then in Matthew 3:15, mm-hmm. like in reference to the Lord's baptism,
mm-hmm.
There, if you could give some identity, you know, when the Lord said, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, when he's convincing John to baptize him. Mm-hmm. Who do you believe the us were? And what would be that all righteousness that was being fulfilled?
Well, I think the fulfilling of all righteousness is, again, the fulfillment of the prophecies and those things that were foretold about the one preparing the way, and Jesus, obviously, being baptized to fulfill the prophecies, not because of any kind of sin or shortcoming or anything like that, but to prove true what had been taught about him coming. It also shows, if you will, the people a type of baptism which they had not been interacting with and familiar with, other than, as I mentioned, like 1 Corinthians 10:2, where they were baptized under the cloud. So I think that it's a combination of those things. Is fulfilling the righteousness of God. When he's talking about us, he's talking about the whole purpose and mission of God. And so also he's convincing or highlighting to John that John needs to baptize him rather than vice versa, even though normally from a human perspective it would appear John could have used baptizing more than Jesus. So.
Appreciate it, Art. Brian caught part of what I'd ask about. I'd misheard as he did, but whatever. On that question about that had just been posed about the us and why that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, I wonder if John 1:31 has any bearing on it, where John says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And I think that there's two thoughts here on this Matthew 3:15. Jesus, in order to fulfill all righteousness, wanted to be baptized because God was commanding that people be baptized. I mean, yep. When we look at John's baptism, that was not an option. That was a commandment. Mm-hmm. And then the purpose of the baptism, John indicates here in the Gospel of John, was so that Jesus could be made manifest. And indeed he was. The day he was baptized, why, God announced, this is my son, yep. in whom I'm well pleased. Right. So it was a day of, public proclamation from heaven, and also it was a fulfillment of a command that was given.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
Brother George Batty.
Art, I wanted to just say something about something that pertains to my topic in the morning.
Okay.
And I hope they don't deduct however long I'm here right now from what I'm going to say tomorrow. But you made the statement John's baptism was not Old Testament baptism. It was God's baptism. Mm-hmm. And that's right. John was teaching something new that had never been known before.
Right.
Now, the no exception brethren to get rid of Matthew 19:9, they say, well, that was just the Old Testament being clarified. Mm-hmm. Because if Jesus taught something new and something different, he would have been violating Mosaic law. So all Jesus ever did was just clarify Mosaic law that had already been revealed. Well, if that's what Jesus was doing, then John got to do more than the Lord himself, because John got to reveal a brand new, unheard of before practice, a law that had never been revealed before, baptism in water, and it was required. And it seems to me like, you know, John's mission is just completely overlooked, because if all Jesus was doing in his entire ministry was just calling men back to the law of Moses, just come back here, here's the correct meaning of Moses' law, here's how you ought to be observing it, if that's all Jesus ever did, what did John do? What was his mission, a complete failure? It's like John didn't get anybody prepared for the Messiah, and now the Messiah has to come along and do John's work all over again. John didn't do anything. And it looks to me like John's mission is being completely overlooked by this no-exception idea that is trying to rid us of Matthew 19:9.
So. Yeah, no, I appreciate those comments, George. You know, when we mentioned Luke 16:16, and I didn't go into a lot of detail, but really the law and the prophets were until John is the language. And so it shows John has a specific, special, designated, ordained role in the plan, redemptive plan, or the progressive redemptive plan. Is he redoing what Jesus couldn't do? No, of course not. That's why I mentioned 1 Corinthians 10:2, which is actually an example of baptism under the cloud. So that's the way I look at it. And to your point exactly,
well,
I think
Blaylock, and then Jerry Cutter.
Yeah, I think.
Art, I appreciate your talk very much. I want to ask you about this. I've always been just a little bit confused about this. In John 4, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples," and so on. So during this time of John's baptism, before the cross, the disciples of Jesus were also baptizing during this time. Now, what about that baptism? What that they were baptizing was it also John's baptism that they were doing, or what is that situation there?
I'm sorry. Can you give me the verse you're at again?
I'm in John 4, verse 1 and verse 2.
Okay.
The disciples of Jesus were also baptizing at that time. There was some kind of baptism taking place. And it says, though Jesus himself baptized not by his disciples. And also we're in John 3 and verse 22. After these things came Jesus' disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Enon. So that, I'm a little confused about that baptism that Jesus, his disciple, or at least his disciples, were practicing. Do you have any comments on that?
I hadn't looked at it from that angle that you're asking about. I would definitely say that obviously we've got the examples in Matthew 3 of John and Jesus baptizing together, or John baptizing for the purpose of fulfilling all righteousness. So Jesus is there with him, but I'd have to take more of a look at that verse. I hadn't looked back.
Brother Jerry Cutter, and then Brother Richard.
I think we'd all agree there's four or five subjects being introduced now. but the long and short, as I see Acts 19, when Paul asked them about the Holy Spirit as being indicated, they knew there was a Holy Spirit. They just didn't know the church had been established. Right. And if they didn't know the church had been established, obviously they hadn't obeyed the gospel properly. And I think that's all that's being said. Yeah. And you taught it in your lesson. And so it wasn't a matter of whether of they receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, as far as baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's obvious that Jesus told the apostles just before they were, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Mm-hmm. So they were on the day of Pentecost, and that brought in the church. And then somewhere along the line, they fell under the influence of John the Baptist's preaching. And they didn't know about this. That is, people that were preaching as John did. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, too, it's a good way for people that aren't familiar with this subject to do what we heard a moment ago. We don't obey promises. Whether we ever understand the Holy Spirit problem, if we want to call it that, it's our problem. Clearly, we don't... no one was ever commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded, as you indicated, to be baptized in water. And that's what people need to understand, I believe.
Yep.
Brother Richard?
I just wanted to comment on what Melvin and you were talking. There's only one baptism under consideration in John 4. I mean, no other baptism's been introduced. So we're talking about John's baptism. Okay. It was a baptism, as you got right up there, and it was a baptism for preparation. Mm-hmm. And everybody was being prepared for the establishment of the church. So that process went on right up until the time of the crucifixion. Yeah. So there were many disciples of John, even after he was dead, that were still out saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Yeah. Get ready. Yeah. You got to be baptized to be ready.
I appreciate that, Richard. And that's what really Apollos was doing when he was pulled aside by Priscilla and Aquila.
Art, I like to think of the thing as a matter of a commission. You know, Jesus said, and see, it's in Matthew 10, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe that's where it says the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached. Mm-hmm. So my question is, those who were baptized, were they in the kingdom? You know, we assume a lot of times that on the day of Pentecost, the 3,000 were baptized. It doesn't say that. It says 3,000 were added. And I wonder if the 500 brethren that are mentioned over in 1 Corinthians 15 mm-hmm. might have been the remnant of the people that John prepared. He came to prepare a people for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in John 1, it mm-hmm. says John that Jesus came to his own, and his own received them not, mm-hmm. but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Authority or power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now he goes ahead. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There never was a Jew that was not born of blood, the will of flesh, or the will of man. I used to think when he said he came to his own, he was just simply talking about the Jews. But he was talking about the people that John came to prepare. Okay. Now, I want to tell you, that soon dwindled down to a very small number. Because over in John 6, Jesus challenged them saying, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That was reprehensible to a Jew. And they said from that time they left and never came back. They went away from the Lord. So those people that Jesus and John prepared, in other words, Jesus preached under the limited commission also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when the Great Commission was given, that superseded that limited commission.
Okay.
And from that time on, people had to be baptized, as you pointed out correctly, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The idea being that those that were prepared for the Lord didn't have to be rebaptized. I don't believe they did. I believe you're right that John's disciples were baptized by John, and they were also baptizing because Jesus had some help.
Thank you, Johnny.
Something that I found helpful is to point out to people that there were only two cases of Holy Spirit baptism, if you include the one to the house of Cornelius. And in thinking about that, in Acts 11, Peter had to go back 7 years to think of another case. You know, they talk today like the Holy Spirit baptism, just something that happens all the time. But Peter had to go back 7 years to think of another case of Holy Spirit baptism, and that was the one they received.
I just appreciate all the comments, the kindness, and thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you.